you know, John chapter 10, verse 10, I got to establish this thought because I'm talking about how to be a winner in life. Well, the first thing you need to know is God wants you to be a winner. Do you realize you were born a winner? Of the 40 million sperm that race for the egg, for its identity, you won. You're not one in a million. You are the fastest to make it to breakthrough. You were born a winner. You're predestined by God. There were millions trying to outrace you, but no, you were the fastest. You broke through. That's a good thought right there. Not only that, but John chapter 10, verse 10 says, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, God doesn't want you to have a same old life. He doesn't want you to just be ordinary. I don't know what it is. We're born winners. Kids have wonderful dreams and aspirations for their lives. But as they get older, some of that zeal, some of that passion, that ambition, that drive, life knocks it out of them. But I'm here tonight to try and put it back in you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And not just ordinary, but Zoe, the God kind of life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Look at the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Keep this book of the law. It says, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous. And look at it. It was your chance to jump in. Then you will be prosperous. And God wants you to be a success. He wants you to be a winner. Come on, don't shout me down here, church. God wants you to be a success. He wants you to win. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, born again, born to win. To know what it is to be more than a conqueror, then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, I want to talk to you tonight about one man and just one simple story. His name is King David. And the Bible speaks about King David, and the Bible says about him that literally, you know, most scholars and theologians believe that he was like something of an illegitimate child to Jesse. And that's the reason why Jesse never even, you know, got David to come when the prophet came and said, go get your sons, because he was the one that actually wasn't supposed to be there. And so David was out there on the ship and looking after the sheep and had brothers, Eliab and Abinadab, big, broad, big men, just burly, strong, rugged kind of guys. And the Bible says David had a ruddy countenance. He was a redhead. He was like a, I don't know how to describe him. He was a, well, you know, how do you describe David? He was a poet. He was a musician. He was a, you know, he was one of those arty kind of farty kind of, you know, one of those, songwriters, musicians. I hope I'm not offending you, Crispy. Praise the Lord. And yet, listen to it. He grew up in a house where his dad kind of really didn't appreciate what was on his life. He had brothers that didn't really care for him. And the Bible talks about he was tasked with this task to look after the sheep. And it was there that he learned how to write songs. It was there he learned to, I think there he probably wrote a lot of the Psalms that we read about in the Bible. It was there he probably wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I think he maybe kind of understood that by the own job that he had of being a shepherd and taking care of the sheep, and once fighting a lion, once fighting a bear. He learned how to sling a rock, and they were literally like snipers in that day, what we would call today, if you like, seen the movie about the sniper. He was like that in its day. He was a marksman. He was incredibly, incredibly talented. And it was there that when he heard about a reward that anyone who would fight the giant Goliath would no longer pay taxes, would have half the kingdom and the king's daughter in his hand in marriage. And David inquired three times about, tell me what happens to the man who defeats this guy. His own brothers who were in the army of God were too afraid. Nobody in all of Israel were willing to stand before Goliath. You know, history tells us that Goliath was at least 10 feet tall. Not about you, but I don't want to fight somebody 10 feet tall. and he was a champion of champions. Nobody, Saul, nobody was willing to fight this man. There was not a person found willing except King David. He wasn't yet King David. He was a little shepherd boy. His brothers told him to go home and look after the sheep and accused him of not taking care of the sheep and neglecting them. What are you doing here? You just came to watch the battle, they said. And I can imagine David thinking, battle? What battle? What are you talking about? Nobody's fighting. If I was going to come and watch a battle, at least there'd be a battle to watch. You guys are too afraid. But he said to King Saul, I'll fight him. And then, of course, you know the story. He threw a rock, hit Goliath right in the head, knocked him out, went over with Goliath's sword, picked it up and cut off his head. And Israel brought about a great victory because one little boy was willing to do something for God and, frankly, risk his life. I want to tell you, that man went down in history. And I want to give you just four secrets to the success of David that made him a winner that I believe need to exist in our lives if we're going to be winner. If we're going to be winners, if we're going to fight Goliath, if we're going to take on our giants, if we're going to see victory in our lives, there's four simple thoughts. And here they are. Number one. David was a multi-talented leader. Write it down. David was a multi-talented leader. He didn't just have one aspect of his life working, but as I already said, David was a skilled musician. He was a shepherd. He was a poet. He was a songwriter. He was a fighter. He fought the lion and the bear. He was the commander of an army, and he was the king of Israel. How many agree that if you got all that going on, you're a multi-talented leader? And can I encourage you that what you're doing today, and maybe you feel like you're in a job that doesn't make any sense. Maybe you feel like you're in a college and you're wondering, why am I doing this degree? What's the point of all this? What's the purpose of all this? Little did David know that in every season of his life, it was training him and preparing him for his destiny and his future. Not a minute is lost with God. Not a minute is lost with God. That dead-end job you feel like you're in, that season where you feel like you want to get out of that season, yet you know God's put you there. Can I tell you, God is sharpening many edges in your life. Not a day, not a minute, not a moment, not an experience. Nothing is wasted with God. God is teaching you, God is training you, and God is preparing for you. Come on, somebody say amen. And can I encourage you, don't be a person who is just singular and mono in your life. Learn to get the edges of your life sharpened. Learn how to get everything out of life that God brings to you. Learn to excel in everything you do. So if you got the lowest job and the lowest income in the lowest place and the lowest position, whatever it is that's put before you, you get good at it. You get brilliant at it. You be the very best there is to be. If you're serving in the house of God and maybe nobody sees the position you do, God sees it, and God is training you, and God is preparing you, and God is raising you up, and maybe nobody else sees it, but can I tell you, God in heaven sees it. He's training you. David's writing some songs out there under a tree, and he's thinking, who's going to read these songs? Who's going to read this music? How's this ever going to get out of there? I don't have a publisher. I don't have a producer. There isn't social media. I don't have iTunes, but God saw to it that David's songs were written down in the Word of God, and God was his publisher and God was his promoter. Can I just say to you, be faithful in what the Lord's given you to do in Jesus' name. The second thought is simply this: David handled family problems well. Anybody here ever had some family problems? Can I see your hands? Praise the Lord. Who's sitting next to somebody and right now you're, no, don't do that. Family problems, but he handled them well. Can I tell you, when they accused David of actually, you know, not caring about the sheep, and they accused him, what are you doing here? You're just here to watch the battle. You're just here. By the way, guys, can you get a little bit more lively? Praise the Lord. I feel like I'm at a funeral right now. Amen. Stay with me now. Come on. And so I asked him to stay, but I don't want to attend a funeral. Praise the Lord. Listen, here's the thought. Listen, he handled family problems well, just like I created some family problems for these poor musicians. Can I tell you, you got to learn how to handle family problems well. David's father, here is the prophet who comes along and says, hey, I'm looking for a new king. God has sent me. Everybody knows who Samuel is. Everybody knows that when he arrives, God turns up and God things happen. And Samuel now arrives at Jesse's house. I'm looking for a new king. Go get your sons. It'll be one of those. And here is Samuel, and he doesn't even want to do it in the first place. He's a reluctant prophet. He sees David's brothers, and they're big and strong. And he goes, surely that's the one. Surely that's the one. But the Lord says, no, no, you're looking at the outer. I'm looking at the heart. It's not Eliab. It's not Abinadab. It's one of the others. All of David's sons, all of Jesse's sons, stands before him. Could you imagine? As Samuel goes, is this it? Is there anybody else? And Jesse goes, well, there's David, but it can't be him. Come on, look again at my boys. And Samuel now realizes something about God. God doesn't look at the outer appearance, not the best dressed. It's not the person with the greatest education, the highest degree, the family background, your family of origin. It's none of those things. It's not about, you know, where you grew up and what school you went to, what education you got. God is looking at the heart, and God would rather use somebody with a good heart than someone that looks all the deal. You see, if you read the story of what David's older brother looked like, the Bible says when Samuel saw him, he thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. He was literally, the Bible says he was head and shoulders above all the rest. That is exactly what Saul looked like. Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above the rest. And even the great prophet made the mistake at looking at the outer appearance, looking at the car he drove, looking at the house he lived in, looking how he dressed, looking like a warrior, all dressed up, but nowhere to go, because God was looking for a little shepherd boy who had a heart after God. Come on, can I tell you, you're going to face some family challenges. You're going to face some people who don't see the potential in you. You're going to declare your future, and sometimes your own mother, your own father, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, your grandmother, they're not going to see what God's in you, but God will see to it. If you keep a heart after him, he will raise you up and he'll stun your family. Come on. And it's not that you're going to stick it to your family and say, see, but that spirit of excellence, that spirit of leadership, you're going to take your family with you, and you're going to see God even bless them in the name of Jesus. Here's the third thought. Listen to this one. If you want to be a winner in life, let me tell you right now, come on, listen to it. You got to learn how to handle authority well. David learned how to handle family problems well. David was multi-talented. Maybe right now someone here, you're in the middle of doing a degree in college and you're going, I don't even think this is my destiny. I don't even know why I'm even doing this degree. I don't even believe I'll end up getting a job in this degree. But can I tell you something? God has got you there, and God is teaching you something, and you just never know how God's going to use that into your future in Jesus' name. So here's David, and he's now, the Bible says, he's serving Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him. And the Bible says that Saul was vexed with an evil spirit from the Lord. I still cannot explain that. I myself do not understand how that could even take place. But it did. It's in the Bible. And the Bible says that Saul would call for David, a skilled musician. And every time David played the harp, every time he played music, the Bible says the evil spirit left him. He was tormented by an evil spirit. But every time a skilled and anointed musician, praise the Lord, a skilled, handsome, powerful, attractive worship team, every time they played, it was more than music. It was more than the soul emotion. It was more than just good words to a good song. It brought the presence of God and drove out the enemy. And King Saul was changed and released of a demonic spirit because of the skill and the anointing on this musician. And yet that same man, King Saul, would literally throw spears at David. Some of you feel like right now the very people who God's called you to minister to don't understand what's on your life, and you feel like they're throwing spears at you. But you got to learn how to handle, even when life doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen, you still got to learn how to be faithful and loyal and handle authority well. And the Bible says that David became an expert at dodging spears and running for his life. And King Saul sought to kill David. David had the opportunity once to kill Saul himself, but David would not do it. He said, "The Lord forbid that I should raise my hand against the Lord's anointed." You see, God put this man in my life. God put this man in the position of kingship. And I will not be the man that removes that which God sets up. And if God wants to set him down, then let the Lord do it, even though I know the Lord's declared I will be the next king of Israel. It will not be by the bloodshed of my hands. I will see to it that I honor that who the Lord has anointed, and I will not touch them. Can I tell you something? One of the things you got to know that you're ready to be promoted in life is even when you have the opportunity to pull somebody down, somebody that in your eyes you feel like it's justifiably right to do it, when you still say, "Lord, you judge that." You say, "Lord, that's in your hands. Lord, I won't judge that. Lord, I won't deal with that. Lord, you deal with that, because if you deal with it, it'll be done well. But Lord, help me to keep a heart that is submissive, keep a heart that is faithful, keep a heart that is loyal in your job, in your situation. Don't be comparing yourself to somebody else, and other people are getting it further ahead in life, and you feel like your life is going backwards and their life is going forwards. You've been around longer than them. They're just Johnny come lately, and you see them getting an opportunity, and you think, God, where am I? I believe you called me to be the king, and I see all this stuff happening all around me." God is testing your heart. You see, the Bible says that David was a man after the heart of God. David wasn't head and shoulders above all the rest. David didn't look the part, but God loved the fact that David's heart was after God. And God says, "I can use a young boy that can stand before a giant. I can use a young boy who's got a soft heart toward me. I can use a young boy who's a poet. I can use a young boy who is a skilled musician. I can use a young boy who can pick up a rock and look after the sheep. He's somebody I can trust, and he will be the future commander and the king of the army of Israel." Can I tell you, God wants to use you. God wants you to be a winner. But right now, he's testing you. He's testing you, and he's testing you to bring out the best in you. Here's the last thought. David learned how to handle authority well. And David was up for a fight. Come on, someone say amen. David was up for a fight. The Bible says that David ran toward the giant. He didn't run around him. He didn't play hide and seek. The Bible says that David ran toward that giant. Can I tell you something? When the fight is on, you've got to be up for a fight. You got to make sure that you know, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." You were made a warrior. You were made a conqueror. You can defeat your enemy. We can defeat the powers of darkness. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when the fight is on, come on, it's game time. Let's get ready to rumble. Come on, let the warrior roar. Let the fighter fight. Run to your battle and know that God is with you. David was motivated by the reward. But here's the most powerful thought as I close. David had the right perspective toward his enemy. You see, everybody else looked at Goliath. And sure, he was big. I mean, Clayton's 6'8". He's a big man. But put Goliath next to Clayton, and he looks small. You know, Mark Hopkins, 6'6", he's a big man. By the way, Jim McMillan, a good friend of mine from Australia, is here visiting tonight. Let's welcome Jim. Come on. Can I tell you, listen to me now. Some of you are fighting some battles right now. You got to learn how to fight. You got to say, don't get me out of this, but Lord, teach me how to fight. And listen, the Bible says that he was head and shoulders. Saul was more than, that Goliath was more than head and shoulders. He was 10 foot tall. He was a champion of champions. Everybody looked at Goliath and they looked at themselves and they said, "We can't beat him." But David looked at Goliath and he looked at God, and then he looked at himself and said, "This man is uncircumcised. He's a Philistine. He's not a covenant man, but I'm in a covenant relationship with my God, and my God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is able, and I cannot do it by myself. But this man is not in covenant with God. He's a covenant breaker, but I'm in a covenant with God, and my God is a covenant God. And if it takes someone like little old me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see everybody else in Israel set free. I'm going to fight him. I'm going to take him down, because this man is a Philistine. He's an enemy to the purposes of God. He's intimidating people, but I'm not intimidated. I've got the right perspective on this giant. He's a loser and he's going down. Can I encourage you tonight? When it's time to fight, get your fight on. Thank God we live in a new covenant where we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But Goliath is a picture of your enemy, the enemy of cancer. You got to learn how to fight sickness. The enemy of poverty, you got to learn how to fight poverty. The enemy who has blinded this world, the god of this world, the devil who keeps people out of the kingdom, you got to learn how to fight. This year, we've announced it as a year of prayer. We're going to be a praying church. We got to learn how to get on our knees and fight like a man. Come on, somebody say amen.